The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Today FM.
It all happens here.
John Gibbons, our weekly environment correspondent, is with us again today. But I want to start with Michael Sheridan, the motoring journalist, because yesterday, Michael, you were making the point that more and more people are going to be getting back into their cars as the return to work continues, particularly in rural Ireland, because they have no alternatives. And even today, I happened to be out there about in South Dublin this morning. I couldn't believe the traffic jams. It was like we were back to 2 years ago. Do you have any confidence, Michael, that we're going to be in a situation where people would at any stage over the next 5 to 10 years meet the government's projections about abandoning their car and finding other ways to get to work?
I really don't, Matt. I think, and listeners wouldn't either, because not enough is being done to realise the situation people find themselves in. In an ideal world, and we all appreciated during lockdown the lack of noise from cars and from trucks and all sorts of things and all forms of transport. But if you live in rural Ireland, there simply is not enough ways to get around the place if you, say, can't cycle, can't walk, or you don't have access to an e-bike. The car is essential for so many parts and aspects of Irish life. Now, until we have sustainable transport that can provide the rural people of Ireland with an alternative to the car, we really are goosed. And I don't think the pandemic is kind of like the perfect storm as well. It made people appreciate that when you're in your car, you've got your own space and you control your time and to a degree, your destiny. So it was easy to put the bigger picture, saving the planet and so on the back burner, because people were worried about making their lives actually just function and getting by. But unless there's radical government action to incentivize cleaner and greener vehicles and get people into zero emission vehicles, which are still way too expensive, the people of Ireland, in rural Ireland, will be reliant on their cars for decades to come.
John Gibbons, the people of rural Ireland will be reliant on their cars for decades to come. Do you share Michael's pessimism?
Good afternoon, Matt. On one level, I actually do. I think we're locked into a situation of car dependency. And I should start here. I know we can focus on the benefits of cars, and we often do about independence and so on, but they come with really staggering costs. For example, the AA calculates that the average cost of running a family car in Ireland is €10,690 a year. That's well over €200 a week after tax. Now, that's just for one car. So if a typical rural family finds itself running two cars, essentially, they're probably spending over €20,000 a year after tax money just running cars. Now, how's that for a price in terms of, imagine all the things that they can't do with that €20,000 that has been diverted into having to run cars. So I guess it's one of these traps where because of the lack of alternate provision, they're basically pushed down that particular direction. Now, I was looking into this, Matt, to see, you know, is there any way, if we're in this trap, is there a way out? And probably the best model that I've seen is a system called the Local Link bus system. Now, there was a great article about this in the journal.ie in August, and they gave an example of a lady called Mary Donoghue, who she lives in her home in Achill, County Mayo, and every Tuesday morning, the Local Link driver, she phones the driver, and the driver picks her up in the Local Link bus and drives 70 kilometres to Castlebar and collecting other people along the way. So the Local Link bus literally connects people, pops around to their houses, brings them, drops them off for the shopping and brings them home again. Now, that whole service, which I think is absolutely fabulous, is running on a shoestring. It gets €14.3 million funding a year. Now, we put more than that into funding private greyhound racing in Ireland. Now, I was thinking to myself, Matt, imagine if instead of €14.3 million into Local Link, we put €143 million into Local Link. Imagine if we expanded that out dramatically. At the moment, that €14.3 million is supporting nearly 1,400 what are called demand responsive routes. In other words, routes that using an app or using the phone that you actually can get the small local bus to come and pick you up and give you that flexibility that we all enjoy with the car without the staggering cost. Now, that's where you begin to see the puzzle, the lock-in that Michael described there, where we feel we have no choice. And we end up, as I said, handing out 10 or 20,000 a year straight out of our pockets in running cars, which, by the way, in most cases, of course, spend most of their lives parked up. So that's one example. Now, of course, it's not the only answer. It doesn't solve everything. But I thought it's a fantastic idea of how we can get ourselves out of this logjam.
Listener here says, I live in Ennis, a fairly big town. I work in Shannon, a major employment hub and town that has an international airport. There's only one bus I could possibly take to work, and it takes an hour, which is three times longer than my car journey. I have no option but to drive. I would love to take public transport if it would make sense. So, Michael Sheridan, we have multi-billion euro plans for the construction of things such as the DART Plus electrification of the coastal railway line in Dublin and the construction of the underground metro link. But might it be better, instead of spending money on enormous infrastructural train projects for Dublin, to maybe spend the money on buses throughout the entire country?
I think you're absolutely right. And John is spot on as well, that local link, rural link, it's the easiest and most effective way of giving people an alternative form of transport. And when we think of the technology that's available now, only last week I was in a hydro-powered BMW production plant in Dingolfing in Germany. And we were shuttled around the place to see the place using a bus which actually had a recycled car battery from an earlier electric car. And it was driving around the place on zero emissions, and it was perfect for that task in hand. We're stuck at the moment at a point where we're just transitioning to the major car companies giving electric cars their full backing. And with scale, those cars will come down in price. But for the next 5-10 years, they're going to be beyond the reach of your average person. But if you can electrify a rural link system and so on, you get the benefit of having more alternative transport forms. But it's also green at the point of use. And if it's hydro or if it's wind power and so on, it's great for the environment as well. So it does require investment. It's just at the moment we're in this perfect storm. We're being screwed for car insurance, for running costs, for oil, for diesel, petrol. It's horrendous for the average person, but they're in a trap and they can't get out of it. So the only way to do that is to take government action and serious action. And while rail lines are lovely, a bus can go wherever you point its wheels. And that makes much more sense in the short term. And it's adaptable. It can change its route depending, as John said earlier, on the demand, and that is the only way forward.
Listener says, in rural Ireland, most villages have been killed off, so even a pint of milk requires a car journey. So, John, what about the idea that instead of these massive projects, such as an underground metro for the capital city, that we should be putting the money into things like bus services instead?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, Matt. I'm not sure that I would be necessarily scrapping high-quality metro services in Dublin. For example, if we'd taken that view 35 years ago, we wouldn't have a DART today, right? A lot of people, I remember, complained bitterly about the cost of the DART, but it's turned out probably to be the best money that we ever spent in Dublin. So I would treat them discreetly, and I would stay instead, where are we spending absolute chock-loads of money that maybe we don't need to? And you look at things like the proposed Cork-Limerick motorway. Do we really need a full-scale motorway between Cork and Limerick? Would we be better off, for example, bypassing the towns that are being choked by traffic and instead putting some of that money into the type of money that I described? I give the example of, say, 140 million, the amazing things we could do with that with Locallink. And people say, oh, John, that's an awful lot of money. But nobody seems to bat an eyelid when 2 billion euros gets magicked up to build a motorway. I mean, our motorway building costs per kilometre are some of the highest in the world, and they're making a lot of people very, very wealthy. But I'm not sure that they're solving all that many problems. For example, let's take, Matt, the Dublin to Waterford motorway, probably Europe's most underutilised motorway, built at enormous expense with a little city of population of 40,000 at the end and not a single toll along the way. Now, that is a spectacular folly, and I just wonder what we could have done.
Done. You can't rip up the road.
Exactly.
So how do you make better use of it?
Well, I guess the reason I mentioned it, you can't unbreak that particular egg. But what you can do is you can learn the lesson that says, if we're currently planning to replicate the Dublin-Waterford folly over between Cork and Limerick, maybe this is the time to say no, because there's a very powerful road-building lobby in Ireland. There's a very powerful construction industry lobby that they just want to pour that concrete. And, of course, there's a lot of landowners who are very keen to sell their strips of land to the transport authority at inflated prices for road building. And we find that we have this colossal cost attached to it. So maybe this is the time. But I would say, by the way, the existing transport infrastructure that we have, the best use of that is, of course, to put lots of buses on it, as Michael said, and have we use the motorway spine, and then we have the bus routes running off it.
Okay, but Michael, as a listener, just to finish, says people will never get rid of their cars, especially families. If you have at least one child who plays sport, for example, you'll spend at least 3 days a week ferrying them around to and from training and matches, and no amount of public transport can get you to pitches that are in and around housing estates.
That's very true, but I suppose just 2 points quickly on that one. Yeah, the kids would be a lot fitter if they were able to walk or run or cycle safely to the sports grounds, which would be a great thing. But again, our infrastructure doesn't support that. And also just back to the Waterford Road, the Route 1, that was a European requirement for Ireland to come up to the first world level of Europe in terms of having clear transport lines between ferry ports to connect the countries and let the logistics, which are all run by lorry and by road, which is the most efficient way of getting all of the goods, everything we buy in the stores and in the shops, has to use those roads. Our haulage industry has to use those roads. Without the motorway network, which Europe funded, we would not have made the progress in our economy in the last number of years. But yes, we have to radically look at how we do things going forward, and that's not in denial.
Listener Owen says, the N9 is a folly, a Cork-Limerick motorway unnecessary. Spoken like a true dub who doesn't see life beyond the pale, the M9 has been a godsend for every county along it. You're not a dub, John, sure you're not.
Not only am I not a dub, Matt, but I'm afraid I use the M9 regularly between Dublin and Kilkenny and other rural points. So I'm afraid I'm not speaking on this occasion like a true dub. The other thing I would say is, as a non-true dub, as in somebody from the country, what I do see is our small rural towns choked with levels of traffic that previously I've only experienced in Dublin. And I'm thinking to myself, we can't continue like this. I mean, it's simply not possible. The population of Ireland is increasing. We have to come up with a better plan for everybody's sake.
Thank you very much, John Gibbons. We'll talk to you again on Thursday. I'm Michael Sheridan.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper.
Weekdays from 4:30. Today,